You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we happen to come across. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. And we bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We got a couple topics prepared for you in sports, entertainment, and odd news. But before we go over all those topics, we like to have a little introduction portion of the show. And I feel like this one is very important because, man, in the Philadelphia region, we have been hammered with snow. We've had, four nor'easters in 3 weeks or something like that? Something ridiculous?
It was, a very short span of time. We just kept getting hit and hit and hit.
Right. And two of those nor'easters fell perfectly on our recording days. And... yeah, Mike said it perfectly. I feel like it's been a while since we've done, like, a regular show, you know?
I forget how to do this now.
Yeah, right? I'm, like, choking a little bit over here. But it's been, it's just been, like, a wild sea of snow.
It's been about a month.
Yeah, really, when you think about it.
Since a quote-unquote normal show.
Between the special 250th episode and then 2 weeks of snow, it's just been like, what has been going on? So it's good that we're back in action.
Hopefully, Rich, I feel like I haven't seen you in forever.
Hopefully no more snow. This should be the end of it.
God, I hope so.
If there's any Easter snow, I'm throwing a fit.
It's the end of March.
Yeah.
I mean, if there's any more snow up there, geez.
Yeah.
Up there. I make it sound like the clouds are just storing it and just releasing it bit by bit.
Ah, we're going to get you now.
See, Philly?
Yeah, it's so much fun during the Super Bowl. Now we're going to get you.
Mother Nature's like, I got a bit left in my reserves.
Coming at you.
I don't know why Mother Nature is like a 1920s bank robber.
Right, see, we're gonna throw the snow at you. See,
they're
man.
Just twirling their cumulus nimbus
wonderful mustache. Yeah. That's a great name for a mustache.
A cumulus nimbus.
Yeah.
I don't even know what type of cloud that is. I'm not even sure if that is a cloud or if that's a broomstick in Harry Potter.
The Nimbus 2000 is. Yeah.
I'm sure it was named after a cloud, though.
It could have been.
I don't know.
You're flying in the clouds when you're on a broomstick.
That's
so
true.
I guess so. Anyway, the point is, we're back in action, and it's good to be back. And hopefully, we foresee no more other events that will prevent us from us recording shows and giving them to you on a weekly basis. Thank you for staying loyal during this trying time.
Yeah,
right. This trying time. Yeah, when we've been in the dark when it comes to when we're going to record and everything, but we seem to be out of it now. So with that aside now, Mike, what have you been up to, since I haven't seen you in we haven't done a regular episode in like a couple weeks.
God, I don't even know. I can't even remember that far back. I know recently, you won't care about this at all, but I finished Assassin's Creed Origins. I can finally put that behind me. It was a really cool game. Very cool. It showed the origins of the assassins, obviously. The one thing I love about those games is how far-reaching they are and how they take historical events and they show it to you through a different perspective. Like, you're never going to play this game, so no. I'm just going to spoil the end for you. Spoiler alert for anybody who wants
Should I play spoiler music?
Sure.
It's a spoiler! Ooh, it's a spoiler! Don't listen! Go away!
You just wanted to play that.
I love that clip, yeah.
Ooh, it's a spoiler!
Yeah.
But anyway,
you did that. You're the one that went crazy on that one.
That's half the sound clips are just me losing my mind for the entertainment of other people.
Yes. Welcome to the Crispy Noodle Podcast,
where you get to hear my mental breakdowns on a weekly basis. But anyway, so the thing I love about the game is the historical events through a different perspective. And so the game takes place during the era, when Egypt was being taken over by the Greeks and the Romans, and so they had a lot of conflict in the area. And, you know, Julius Caesar comes over and he's like banging Cleopatra. And the game ends by going back to Rome and leading the assassination on Julius Caesar, which I thought was really cool because that's what happened in history.
Yeah.
Like Julius Caesar was assassinated.
Right. So
A2,
do you actually,
Brutus, yeah.
Do you actually kill Caesar?
You do. Yes. Which
oh,
is which is pretty
cool.
It's like a fun, the whole series has like fun little twists like that thrown in.
Okay.
So it was really cool. If you're a history nerd like I am, it's cool to see things like the lighthouse and the Library of Alexandria and, you know, the Sphinx and stuff like that. It's just neat. But other than that, I also watched and fell asleep during Blade Runner for the third time.
You tried to go through Blade Runner? You can't get through Blade Runner?
This is the third time I've watched this movie, and every time I watch it, I've fallen asleep during it. Do you have any movie that does that to you? Just no matter how many times you watch it.
Lord of the Rings.
Wow. Wow.
You opened the door on that one, Mike.
I did.
I know.
I brought that on myself.
I can't get through it.
There's some movies where it just, I don't know what it is. It just invites sleepiness.
Yeah.
And
sorry.
Apparently Blade Runner is that for me and Lord of the Rings is that for you.
Yeah.
That's fine. I understand.
Thank you.
Because you're probably cringing at the thought of me falling asleep during Blade Runner. Because
yeah. Well, I'll let it slide.
You'll let it slide.
Yeah.
Because everything about it should be my favorite movie ever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That seems like a movie that should be up your
alley.
It's
dystopian. It's neo-noir. It's got Harrison Ford. It's got, you know, cool sci-fi elements and existential what is life type questions. And for whatever reason.
It's enough to put you to sleep.
It's enough to put. Yeah. I can't handle that much existential crisis in one sitting.
Huh.
But it's a great movie. There's no point to that story other than bring up the fact that I can't make it through that movie.
All right. Fourth time's a charm.
Fourth. Yeah, exactly. I'll have to watch it a fourth time. But yeah, honestly, I got attacked by a goose at work, which was terrifying. You didn't think I was going
to
bring that up?
Yeah, I didn't think you were going to. You want to go? I mean, now you mentioned it.
All right. Well, yeah. So I was attacked by a goose at work. I was walking with some coworkers.
What a shocker!
To the other building in the compound.
Who would have guessed? Like, surprise! Like, Jesus Christ!
That's what the goose said as it started chasing us. It's like, surprise, here I am. But no, we were walking between the two buildings, and the pharmaceutical company that I work at is notorious for having a lot of geese on this property, and they have their nests around the buildings. And anybody that's ever come across a nesting goose knows that you do not mess with a nesting goose. So we gave this thing a very wide berth. Like, we were on the opposite side of the street. We weren't looking at it. We were moving briskly away from it. This thing was not having any of it, though. It's staring daggers at us, and then it starts waddling after us, like as fierce as a waddle as you can imagine. And so we start to do a light jog into the middle of the parking lot. Well, then the bird takes flight and starts dive bombing us. It's swooping down on us. The one person sprints out of there. The other person is screaming like she's being murdered. And what is this
dear
music?
Dear God, they came from out of nowhere.
This feathery demon bird.
Oh, it was a rough day.
I was just walking down the street, and then all of a sudden, a shadow soars across the ground. I look up, and it was a storm of feathers and squawks. And I knew then that the end was close. If I didn't do something about it, surely this would be the end of Michael in the pharmaceutical parking lot. And so I lifted my arms above my head, and I roared, at this goose. I did. I started yelling at this goose.
You essentially became a bear.
I became a bear. In the middle of a parking lot, I was standing there with my arms over my head, roaring like a tiger or a bear or whatever at this goose. And I got it to back down. I saved the day, Rich.
Yes. But at what cost?
My humanity.
You had to become a bear.
You had to become a bear.
Yes.
It's very difficult living life as a bear. But yeah, so I was attacked by a goose.
To be fair, though, if you're going to become a bear, I would have to imagine you would have to say this.
Somebody touch my spaghetti!
Mine's a poo!
Mine's gone! And my chair is broken, too!
Someone is in this house!
Yeah, I thought you would have to do a somebody touching my spaghetti.
That's basically what I said to the goose. I was like, listen here, a goose.
How dare you? You break into the pharmaceutical company. You will go home.
You take over the sidewalk. You go home now.
You leave no room for us.
Pardon. You go to lock. You eat the spaghetti. You break the chair. You sleep in the bed. Go home to your house.
You go home to your house.
That's actually the security footage from that day.
You will go home.
Yeah, man, that goose is not having any of it. On the way back, it was hiding between the cars. And it felt like a scene out of Jurassic Park where we're like looking around the corners of cars to make sure it's not like they're ready to attack us again. Geese are terrifying. I know you're laughing, but they are really terrifying, Rich. Have you ever been attacked by a goose?
No, I haven't.
Okay, well, go get attacked by a goose. Have it fly and dive bomb your head. It was like a foot away. A foot away, Rich.
All right, Mike's suffering from PTSD over here.
I've seen you react to seagulls.
Yes, seagulls are very scary.
Well, how is a goose any different than a seagull then?
I don't know. I have no idea. I've never been attacked by a goose, so I can't compare.
Anyway, so that's enough of what I've done. I've bared my soul. Rich, what have you been up to this week? You've been attacked by any animals?
No, I haven't been. I've not been attacked by any animals. The only thing I want to mention is I found a new show that I'm following now.
Okay.
The Good Place.
The Good Place. I don't think
it's
I know that one.
It's a comedy about a woman, Kristen Bell, who dies and she goes to heaven, but it turns out she wasn't supposed to go there.
Oh.
And the show plays like this kind of comedic, but also kind of throws a little bit morality in there. Like, is it right for her to try and stay in heaven when she's been misplaced? I mean, there's been a mistake at some point. Somebody
HR messed up the filing.
Yeah, right. So it plays into this kind of morality and philosophical kind of things, but not too much that it ruins the tone of the show, because the show is supposed to be a comedy.
Right.
So it's really good. They walk the line very well.
It's got Kristen Bell in it?
Yeah.
I like Kristen Bell.
Yeah. And, it's one of those smart comedies. I enjoy it very much.
Hmm.
And they're only 20-minute episodes.
What channel is it on?
It's on NBC, and the first season's on Netflix.
Okay.
So you can try and get caught up, which is what I did. But yeah, just a good show. I binge watched couple of weeks.
Well, that's
or so.
What you do when there's snow on the ground.
Yeah, I mean, what else can you do?
You binge watch, you play games, and watch movies,
and rewatch Star Wars over and over.
Okay,
I don't know.
I think they were showing it on TV a lot recently.
They were showing Rocky.
I didn't see Rocky.
I think it was Showtime. Showtime was doing like a Rocky marathon.
Oh, I bet you
that
were watching
was so
that.
Good. That was like perfect timing too. It had like the first one at like 6 o'clock, the second one at 8.
In the evening or in the morning?
In the evening, yeah.
Okay, I was like, who's waking up at 6 o'clock to watch Rocky?
Me!
Yeah, you set the alarm. It's 5:30, time to watch Rocky.
It's time for the Rocky marathon. But no, it was, that's also a great series to watch. So I got my fill of Rocky as well. So there you go. That's what we've been up to during the snow. The second time we got delayed because of snow, but now we are here in full force and ready to go. And let's go into the part of the show where we go over some sports topics. Folks, it's time for the sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face! Ha ha!
Sports coming at you in your face. And the first part of the sports sampler, we try to hit a couple topics as fast as we can in 2 minutes or less. Time for the 2-minute drill. You ready, Mike?
I'm ready.
All right. The clock is on and go.
All right. First up in the 2-minute drill, some disappointing football news. New Philadelphia Eagles defensive end Michael Bennett was arrested for an altercation that occurred during last year's Super Bowl. He is accused of shoving and injuring a 66-year-old, I don't know if this is true or not, paraplegic security guard?
Allegedly, yep.
Allegedly. So he was recently arrested for that. The bond was set at $10,000, which is kind of a joke for an NFL player. I mean, if you're going to punish a dude, punish him. Don't, $10,000, that's nothing. It's a slap on the wrist. There is some concern, though, because people are saying, oh, did the Seahawks know about this when they traded him to the Eagles? And Eagles GM Howie Roseman is saying that they have faith in the Seahawks organization, that they trust them, that they didn't do this knowing that this was about to drop. So
it wouldn't surprise me, though, if they did.
Yeah. I mean, this is a long time for something like this to brew. I mean, this was last year's Super Bowl. So you're talking 13 months ago.
Right.
It's strange that this is coming out now, but we'll have to wait and see how it plays out. And, you know, the Eagles take a hard stance against players with this type of thing going on, so we'll have to see what happens in Michael Bennett's future. Another future that we're keeping a close eye on, though, is Tiger Woods. After posting impressive scores in tournaments throughout March, Tiger Woods is somehow the Vegas favorite to win the Masters at 9-1.
Yeah,
this is a name we've never mentioned in golf. Yeah,
right, at least in a good way, yeah, on the podcast. A couple of stats. At the Honda Classic, finished 12th. At the Vassar Championship, finished 2nd. And at, wow, the Arnold Palmer Invitational, finished 5th.
That's impressive for a guy we had written off just last year.
Right. He could be making waves. And at the right time, too. The Masters, right, is coming up next week.
Well, it sounds like we got our first major golf headline then,
yeah,
next week.
Yeah, talking about golf! Masters next week! Ah!
There's one more reason to get excited, even though golf is very exciting.
I love golf!
There's another small reason to get excited, and this is specific to Philadelphia news. All Philadelphia fans will be happy to hear this. The process has worked, people. The Philadelphia 76ers clinched their first playoff berth since 2012.
Mamma mia! Yeah. Yes, for the first time in 5 or 6 seasons.
Yeah.
Man, it's been a long time.
It has been a long time.
There needs to be some NBA playoffs with the Sixers in it.
Yeah, the Sixers have been trusting the process for a while. Of course, you know, they had this whole system where they would play very, very badly so that they would get the highest draft picks to get the best players. And it looks like it's finally falling into place for them. They clinched a playoff berth, their first since 2012. I think they deserve it.
Yeah, you know, it's about time.
They went through a lot of terrible years in order to make it to this point. Now, you know, they're probably going to draw some criticism. Oh, you know, they sort of gamed the system. Well, you know. What are you supposed to do?
That's the process.
That's the process. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing stopping the other teams from doing that,
right?
You know, so
they did it. So
they did it. They had the balls to do it, and they did it. And now they're reaping the rewards,
right? And hey, who knows? Maybe they'll make a playoff run. Because that's the thing about like the basketball playoffs and the hockey playoffs, and to a degree, March Madness too. But I'd say it's mostly for NBA and the NHL playoffs. They're all just make the playoffs and then see what happens, because
right,
there's no bye weeks. There's no strategic like advancing like in obviously in football, if you're
right,
a 1 or 2 seed, you get an extra week off.
Right.
There's none of that in these playoffs. It's just make the playoffs and see what happens from there.
Right. And because they play series, you know, you can have one bad game but still come back from it.
Right. So,
you know, it gives teams to course correct midway through. So, yeah, I mean, the sky's the limits. I don't think they're going to make it very far, but it's a step in the right direction, and it creates an atmosphere and a mindset of winning in a city for so long that has been focused on losing.
Right.
Which is important.
We've been in the dark ages for a while.
This is the renaissance of the Philadelphia Big Four sports teams.
That's right. I'm happy that's finally here. Another way that this might pan out as well is with the current March Madness tournament. Man, Villanova is alive. One of the few number one seeds that didn't go down early, ironically. Usually Nova is one of those seeds.
Yeah, I know. I think I had joked about that before March Madness. We actually haven't had a chance to talk about March Madness yet up until this point. It has been a wild tournament so far, right? I mean,
yeah.
I don't know anything about it.
I'm
throwing you because I don't know anything about basketball.
It's been ridiculous. Obviously, well, first off, let's really go back to macro here. We had a 16 seed knock off a number one seed.
Yeah.
What the hell? That is unheard. That is literally unheard of. That's never happened ever in history.
That's like the type of bracket that I would make. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Look what you did, Mike. You ruined the whole system.
I ruined the whole thing. Yeah. What is it? UMBC beat Virginia? I don't even know what that is. What is that?
That's a...
what team is this? Yes. It's like a dog
it's
a mascot.
In Maryland.
I'm just going to follow this link and see where it takes me.
So they beat the number one overall seed.
The number one overall?
Yes.
Wow. So you're telling me the 64th team beat the first team?
Yes.
That's insane. Yes. And they beat them by 20 points.
Yep. They didn't show up.
Wow.
That's
really cool. I love that.
Real quick aside, okay. I was at a Dave and Buster's when this happened. And we were playing all the games in the arcade. And then we had our fun. We were done. We were walking back to the bar. And we noticed a whole bunch of people were huddling around this one TV. And we're like, what's going on? And we just saw this. Virginia's losing, and they're losing by 20 points. Like, what the hell's going on?
My man, that is insane.
Everybody's jaw was on the floor. It was and it ruined everybody's that ruined everybody's bracket.
Oh yeah, because that basically eliminates an entire quarter of it,
obviously.
Essentially.
So that was like the first major thing that happened. That was ridiculous. But now let's get to some current news here, because we got to talk about Loyola. University hailing outside of Chicago, the Ramblers. I love that name. I never heard of another team named the Ramblers.
No, that's pretty good.
Yeah,
they should play Led Zeppelin's "Ramble On."
Yeah,
or "Ramblin' Man."
Yeah. And they are an 11 seed, and they are in the Final Four, one of the lowest seeds ever to make it this far in the tournament.
I was just going
to
ask, how often does that happen?
Very rare. But it's fun to see. And I think pretty much anybody that doesn't have an interest in any of the other three teams is rooting for Loyola.
Absolutely.
They're small university. They got the nun that's rooting for them.
It's the classic Cinderella story, the underdog story. You know, we rode that all the way to a Super Bowl in the NFL. So why can't Loyola ride it all the way to an NCAA national championship?
That's right. But apparently some people are poo-pooing the idea.
That's just stupid. I don't get it. You see this great story of this, nobody team making it this far. It's fun. It's a good narrative. Who would poo-poo something like this?
Apparently Stephen A. Smith would.
Ah.
And we got the official clip here as to his reasoning behind it.
First of all, Cinderella, because I know sometimes they say Cinderella. Cinderella, I understand.
He has an ER
listen,
to
listen, listen, listen. I understand there are people who like that. And I'm not saying that I don't like a team. Like, if there was three or four teams that were Cinderellas in the tournament, I would have a problem with that. One, I don't have a problem with it, but...
So why is Max selling out?
Because this is what I'm trying to say. He's trying to give the impression that that's my issue. All I'm trying to say is this. When it comes time for the national championship, I want the big boys up in there. I want the dudes that I know are the dudes, as opposed to a particular team that gets on a nice little run and we know normally they wouldn't belong in this conversation.
Well, 30-plus games.
But listen, I'm not talking about forget Loyola Chicago for a second because I know they're legit. Please don't get me wrong. But I'm saying normally, that Cinderella ride when, okay, for 2 weeks somebody get hot. What I'm trying to say to you is that when it comes to the national championship, I want to look at the team and go like this. They're the national champions.
You want Duke because of Kansas.
There you go.
All right. So basically that screaming fest that he just did, he basically says he wants recognized colleges in the national championship. F that. I think he's completely dead wrong.
Yeah.
I think this is what March Madness is for.
You know,
this is the chance for all... for the little guys to make it deep. And guess what? Loyola has earned that chance. They have won every single game.
Yeah.
And they've made it this far. Good on them.
They've been beating tough teams. They beat I'm looking at it right now, a 6 seed, a 3 seed, a 7 seed. They're beating people that, they're not maybe the biggest up there, but, they're more highly ranked than 11, of course. Here's the thing. If he wants to see the well-known teams and the recognizable teams, then why even bother having a huge 64-team tournament?
Yeah, at that rate,
you know what I mean?
He's probably a fan of the way they do the college football
the football thing.
Every year, it's Alabama and Oklahoma
Ohio State.
Or Ohio State. One of those
the
major.
Ohio State.
I hate that. Yeah, I hate that.
I know.
But anyway, the point is...
But why... So if your complaint is that you want to see well-known teams, then you shouldn't even watch March Madness, because more than half the teams are little no-name. I don't know half of these people. What the heck is Wright State? I'm just going down the list. Texas Southern, don't know who that is. You know, these random teams that don't. Montana, Providence, Lipscomb. What are these teams?
Lipscomb, yeah. They had their first. That was their. This is their
Iowa.
Debut. Lipscomb.
Bucknell? Who are these teams?
I know. That's yeah, you should know Bucknell.
Villanova? No. But you get.
Penn?
I know. But you get what I'm saying. If you want to only see the well-known teams, then don't watch March Madness, because most of it are teams you've never heard of.
Yeah. I completely.
That's the point of it.
Yeah, I completely disagree with Stephen A. Smith. If Loyola wins these games, they deserve to be in there.
Absolutely.
I don't care if they're not a Duke or they're not a Kansas or...
That's how you get to be a Duke or a Kansas.
Yeah, you gotta... Yeah. Boo Stephen A. Smith. He's pissing me off.
Boo that man!
Boo that man, all right? Boo that man. He's pissing me off. But I will say good luck to Loyola as they face Michigan Saturday night, 6 o'clock.
It's going to be a tough one.
On the other side, though, our local college, Villanova, is facing off against fellow number one seed Kansas on the other side of the bracket. They face off at 8:50 p.m. Saturday night.
Man, we couldn't catch the other, you know, one of the other teams. Like, on the other side, it's a 3-11. We get the only other one seed in the tournament.
Yeah.
Come on.
But that's the way that's the way the tournament works.
Yeah.
And boy, man, if they can knock off Kansas, that's pretty good odds.
That's a winnable championship right there.
Right. Do you think they could pull off
Loyola wins. Boy, wouldn't that be a Philly thing to do? Loyola wins, and then we get there, and if we lose, we're laughingstock. If we win, we beat up on the nun and her 11-seed team.
Yeah.
It's literally a lose-lose for Villanova.
If we win and Loyola
and Loyola
makes it.
Wins.
Yeah, so that's it. Yeah, it could be bad.
Yeah, everyone's like, boo, Philly. It's like, we didn't have a choice.
Yeah, shut up!
Stephen A. Smith is going to come back. This is why I hate Villanova. Cinderella!
Cinderella.
I don't know what he was getting on about.
Yeah. But Nova has the chance to win their second title in 3 years.
Yeah, why not?
If the chips fall right.
Let's make a Philadelphia dynasty with all our teams winning, you know?
Yeah, that would be something. The Eagles win the Super Bowl. Villanova wins March Madness.
The Sixers are in the playoffs.
I think
the Flyers, or what are they doing?
They're meddling
right now. Are they still
right
doing
now?
A thing?
They were hot, but then they kind of cooled off.
Okay. Because I know at one point they won a bunch of games.
Yeah, right after the Super Bowl they did.
Okay.
But
they're still doing their hockey thing, though.
Yes. But yeah, wouldn't that be something if Nova pulls off a championship as well? So March Madness, almost at the end, but not quite. So go Nova and go Loyola.
Yes. Those are the two teams I'm rooting for.
Yeah. All right, Mike. I know we've gone through enough non-football news.
Golf and basketball and all this nonsense.
But real quick, you wanted to mention this development from the NFL owners meeting that they've approved a new rule. What is it?
Yeah, so every year the NFL owners get together in their stuffy suits in their stuffy room, and they decide new rules for the upcoming season. And one of the rules that they have unanimously passed, 32-0, is a new catch rule. So everybody that follows football knows that the catch rule is one of those very complicated and very controversial rules. Is it a catch? Is it not a catch? Did the ground make the ball bobble? Yada, yada, yada. So apparently this language will streamline the rule and make it less ambiguous and essentially create a situation in which previous iffy calls would have been ruled catches per this rule. So let me tell you how specifically it's changing. It's essentially eliminating the part of the rule that requires players to maintain control of the ball as they're going to the ground, right? We saw that in the Super Bowl when Zach Ertz hit the ground and the ball came out, and it was a big controversy. Should it have been a catch because it popped out as it hit the ground? Well, here's the thing. With this new rule, it would not have been controversial because...
Shouldn't have been controversial.
It shouldn't have been controversial from the start. You're absolutely right. But less so because of this rule, because now it's defining a catch as this three-step process of the receiver controls the ball, establishes himself inbounds, and performs a football move such as taking a third step or lunging with the ball in hand, which that would fall under, as with the Dez Bryant one and the Calvin Johnson and the James Jones one, Jesse James one. So my problem is that I don't know if it actually clears up all that much. Like, what is a football move?
Yeah, it only gives examples. So according to the new definition, quote, a football move such as a third step, B, reaching or extending for a additional line to gain, C, the ability to perform such an act.
The ability to perform such an act.
Yeah.
Is that a football move? Is the ability to perform an act a football move?
Sounds like theater. Yeah. Do you have the ability to perform such an act?
To act or not to act?
This is the question of the NFL.
Yeah. It's I don't know if it clears up all that much. The other thing is that it still sort of leaves ambiguous must control the ball. I mean, that was the problem the first time, is they had to control the ball through the process of the catch. Well, you know, if they hit the ground and the ball comes out, even though it's that language isn't in the rule anymore, are you controlling the ball if the ball comes out when you hit the ground? What happens in a situation where a player is jumping, catches the ball, his 2 feet touch, and he hits the ground and the ball comes out? He didn't make a football move. Is that a catch? I feel like it's still ambiguous.
Yeah, until they define exactly football move, yeah, I feel like it's all a moot point.
Yeah, well, exactly. The football move thing, and also the going to the ground thing, they eliminated that. But, I mean, what about cases where it's instantaneous or simultaneous, where, you know, they catch it and they immediately go to the ground and it happens to pop out? What is that?
Yeah. So basically the thing to take away from this update is that they've gotten rid of the whole going to ground argument. Right. So the Dez Bryant catch would have counted. The Jesse James touchdown would have counted. Megatron's, right? Didn't he have one? Yeah, that would have counted.
But what happens when you go to the ground and it comes out? Is that a fumble now? So we're going to see a lot more fumbles?
You know what? I think you're right. I think that would, yeah, then that would increase more fumbles.
I still want to know what happens in the case of a player diving or jumping to catch the ball and immediately goes to the ground. Like, grabs it in the air.
It's going to happen. You know,
he grabs it in the air. He's got it in two hands. He goes to the ground and loses it. Is that a catch?
The worst part is, you know, that's going to happen at some point during the season.
It's going to be the very first play of the very first game. I guarantee you. I think the Eagles open the season. Alshon Jeffrey is going to jump over a defender. You know, he touches both feet, but as he's going to the ground, he loses the ball. He didn't make a football move, so is it a catch? I don't know. Did he have the ability to perform an act if he's already falling to the ground?
I think the overall goal of this was to grant some more leniency when the refs have to do these replays and have to make a call that they don't have to follow the rigid rule of the going to ground element. So
it does allow more leniency, but I think it's at the same time potentially opening a can of worms.
It is.
But I mean, that was going to happen anyway.
Right.
There's no way to rewrite this rule in the perfect way.
Yeah, I think that's part of the problem as well. But at least the NFL's trying to make it a little bit better. So
they're trying. A for effort.
A for effort. But we'll see how it gets implemented this upcoming NFL season. All right. That will wrap it up for the sports sampler. We're a lot of topics, a lot of good news with Nova in March, still alive in March Madness, and the Sixers now in the playoffs. All is good here in Philadelphia. But we're going to take a break. But don't go anywhere, because coming up next, we got the entertainment entree and then the non-fortune cookie news. Still plenty more show still to come. We will be right back.
What do you hear? What do you say? This is Vic DiBattista, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Did you hear this?
21-year-old Amber Fisher and 21-year-old Joseph Polk had a marijuana grinder with a picture of Yoda on it, and then they admitted that their code word to sell pot was, quote, stoned I am. Yeah, I don't think this is an episode of Star Wars, but interesting.
Well, what this is actually the leaked script for episode 10.
Wow, 10? So, they skipped 9?
Yes.
They got high.
Right, exactly.
They forgot how to count. So this was the code for them dealing pot.
That's such a terrible code, too.
Yeah.
Stoned I am.
Also, like, are you forcing your buyers to actually mimic Yoda?
Like, I didn't do the voice. He's not legit.
Right.
Stoned I am. Wacky, is this tobacco? You can tell you've watched a lot of Star Wars in your day.
Puff, puff, I will. Come, we must smoke. Yes.
I could totally imagine Yoda being like a pothead, especially when he's on Dagobah.
He kind of is on Dagobah.
There's all that fog around. Kind of fits.
He acts pretty crazy on Dagobah.
The first thing he grabs when he sees Luke's little camp is the food.
He's already got the munchies. Yoda is a Jedi stoner. Yeah. Confirmed.
Confirmed. In any case, Fisher and Palk were immediately arrested.
And that's still such a stupid code.
It is.
I mean, you have stoned in the code.
Yeah.
That's like, may I please have some pot?
Yeah, you might as well just flat out said, pot may I have?
Yeah. How about, I don't know, what would be a good Star Wars code?
Moisture farms are nice.
Moisture farms? Sure. Let's go with that. Let's go with that one. Could you just imagine going to somebody else and be like, moisture farms are nice.
You better hope you have the right drug dealer.
Oh, you're going to get stabbed so fast.
This is why I'm not a drug dealer. Oh,
yeah.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
This is Guardian Shield, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Man, it's good to be in Philly sports right now. I mean, Eagles won the Super Bowl. Villanova's alive. Sixers in the playoffs. It's a good time.
I love hearing that. The Eagles won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, keep saying it, man. It feels great.
Oh, man.
Did you see there was a... it was part of the local news coverage. I think it was on 6ABC when the blizzard hit. They were trying to do, like, how are you shoveling the snow? How are you handling the snow? And this one guy in South Philly was like, yeah, man, it sucks. But don't forget, the Eagles won the Super Bowl. And I was like, yeah,
yes.
That's right. Don't forget about that.
I think, didn't Ron Jaworski say that people are actually nicer in the city since the Eagles won the Super Bowl?
I believe it.
I believe it, yeah.
50 years of frustration came off of our backs.
Yeah.
Of course we would be nicer.
That's all it took was a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
If people just let us win a Super Bowl, we wouldn't have thrown batteries and snowballs at Santa Claus.
Come on.
Duh.
Yeah. All right, it was snowballs at Santa and batteries at the other guy.
Okay. Same, whatever.
Yeah, all right.
Snowballs and batteries. We're going to the Eagles game. Everybody gets your snowballs and your batteries. That joke is so overplayed, though.
But now we don't have to be known by that. Now we're known as Super Bowl champions, so take that,
yes.
Everybody. Yeah. But now it's time to move away from sports, and we've got the second part of our show. It's time for the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock, especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You were the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
Alright, time for a random sound clip, and it has to do with music.
Okay.
Mike, I want you to take your best guess at what you think this is a cover of.
Okay.
change your mind. Like it go, change it slow. Hey, you, BMS, like it bitch, I would know.
Any guess?
I don't know.
No guess at all?
I don't know, but it sounds like something like Weird Al would do.
Right, it does sound like, well, it is a polka band, so yeah, it does sound, but it's a cover of a famous song.
They are the goods for me. Cause you're hot when you're cold, you're yes when you're no, you're in when you're out, you're up when you're down, you're wrong when it's right, it's black and it's white, we fight, we break up, we kiss, we make up.
Yes, a Ukrainian polka band covered Katy Perry's Hot and Cold, and I love every second of it.
Overseas, critically,
I should know,
they are the goods for me. Cause you're hot when you're cold, you're yes then you're no, you're in then you're out, you're up then you're down, you're wrong then it's right, black and it's white, we fight, we break up, we kiss, we make up.
Oh my god.
What do you think?
It's very catchy.
Yeah, right?
I like it. As a fan of Weird Al, I like the whole polka cover genre. You know what? I did not recognize that at all until the refrain. To be fair, I don't think I actually knew the name or the artist of that song. Just, I recognized it.
You recognized the melody.
Yeah, when they got to the refrain. Da, 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 da.
Cause you're hot when you're cold, you're yes then you're no, you're in then you're out, you're up then you're down, you're wrong then it's right, black and it's white, we fight, we break up, we kiss, we make up.
Who would have thought Katy Perry would have been a great polka?
Yeah, she translates well to polka. What does the regular song sound like? Because I can sort of get it in my head, but I want to hear just how different it actually is.
Okay, wait. So here's the poppy Katy Perry.
Okay.
No, they are the goods for me. Cause you're hot when you're cold, you're yes then you're no, you're in then you're out, you're up then you're down, you're wrong then it's right, it's black and it's white, we fight, we break up, we kiss, we make up.
That's great. I love it.
And I love the fact that they're also Ukrainian.
I could tell from their,
like, that's not their,
their vocals. I was like, what, like, accent is this? Like, why do they sound like funny? Not that it's, you know what I mean.
Right. English is not their first language.
Right.
And they're trying to sing an English song.
Man, props to them.
Yeah. The band, by the way, is, for some reason, Spanish, Los Colorados.
Are you sure they're Ukrainian?
Yes, they are. They were featured on a Ukrainian morning show.
That doesn't mean they're Ukrainian.
Well,
it just means that Ukrainians are really into Spanish music.
No, they're Ukrainian.
Okay.
But it's going viral right now. It already has 1.6 million views. So I hope this continues to take off. Because I just love the fact that a polka band thought, why not? Let's cover Katy Perry.
And yeah, I think Katy Perry will translate perfectly to polka.
And I think it actually really, like...
I think it does.
Yeah.
I think it does pretty well.
And more up-tempo. Like,
right.
I'm ready to go. I want to, do moderate exercise.
Moderate exercise.
Yeah. Right. I'm not too much into exercise.
So you would exercise to polka music?
I guess so. Because I like...
That would be a great experiment to play, like, polka music in a gym. And people are just, like, pumping iron super fast.
Well, if it's this, I would.
The goods for me. Cause you're hot when you're cold. You're yes, then you're no. You're in, then you're out. You're up, then you're down. You're wrong, then it's right. It's black and it's white. We fight, we break up. We kiss, we make up. You
don't really want to say you. Yep, I like
God,
it.
This takes me back to all the Weird Al polka things.
Yes, I know. Yeah, Weird Al is usually the de facto Polka King.
If this really goes viral, Weird Al should just release an album of strictly polka songs.
He
probably does, doesn't he?
Well, he already has that. But
he does have that. Okay.
I say they join forces.
So Weird Al and the Ukrainian group do polka.
Right. They have to join forces and create polka for everybody.
I agree. I full-heartedly agree.
There you go. Las Calorados from Ukraine singing a polka band singing Katy Perry Hot and Cold. That sounds like an odd news story.
I wonder if they've covered other pop musicians.
Well,
like with their polka thing.
I think it'd be hilarious
to see who else they've covered, you know? Probably like Lady Gaga or I don't know.
Well, shout out to these Ukrainian polka geniuses. Keep up the good work. I want to hear more.
Ukrainian polka geniuses.
Yes. Copyright Crispy Noodle Podcast. all right. Now let's move on to the part of the show where Mike lets you know what's coming up this week in movies, TV, and video games. It's time for Mike's This Week in Entertainment.
I'm talking to you, kid. I'm going to make your mother go, woo, woo, woo.
All right. The alarm has been sounded. It's time for This Week in Entertainment.
All right.
What do you have for us?
I'm talking to you, kid. I'm going to make your mother go, woo, woo, woo.
Well, you know what? All the moms are going, woo, 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 over this one. A new movie hitting theaters. They're not saying woo, woo, woo over this. Ready Player One is a new Steven Spielberg-directed action film based on the popular 80s novel about a future world where retro pop culture and virtual reality are the focus of all things entertainment. The basic gist of it is that when an enigmatic game maker dies, it is revealed that he left a secret Easter egg in his game that will give the person who discovers it the secret to his fortune. This prompts a global race to find it, and it has lots of real-world implications. So far, it's doing pretty well with the critics. On Rotten Tomatoes, it's gotten 84% with an average rating of 7.2 out of 10. So it's looking like it could be a fun popcorn munching type movie if you're looking for something in the start of spring. I will say this, that it's gaining a lot of popularity right now because of all the Easter eggs it has in the movie. The film company has gone out and gotten so many rights and licenses in order to include modern day game characters like Tracer from Overwatch and the DeLorean from Back to the Future. It is just packed with Easter eggs and secrets for filmgoers to find as they're watching the movie. It seems like a lot of fun. Definitely something to go check out in theaters.
Yeah, it's supposed to also be a lot of references to the 80s and
this is definitely a movie that's probably up our alley.
Right, so
with the 80s and video game references.
Right, so I'm looking forward to this one.
Yeah, so definitely go check out Ready Player One in theaters this week. Next up, speaking of video games, in the world of video games, a big one's coming out this week. Far Cry 5 comes to Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and PC. This new first-person shooter takes place in the rural United States following a sheriff's deputy as he fights to take down a religious cult group that has taken over the peaceful community of Hope County, Montana. While the game has gathered some criticism for its content, reviewers are generally pleased with it, with the game currently sitting at a low 80% on Metacritic. It says Far Cry 5, but this is like the sixth or seventh entry in this series. It's a big open world with lots of stuff to do, lots of vehicles to fly and drive around in. Has a big crafting system and hunting and tons of wild characters for you to meet and recruit to your cause throughout the game. It's a wildly popular series, so if you're looking for something a little different, some bombastic first-person shooting that doesn't take itself too seriously, go check out Far Cry 5. And that wraps it up for This Week in Entertainment.
All right, Mike, thank you for that segment, This Week in Entertainment. All right, time to get to the meat of the entertainment entree, and I'm happy to say it is a Star Wars-themed entertainment entree. Yeah, we got a couple of big Star Wars stories here. The first one has to do with video games, and I think this is one that a lot of people are rejoicing in. because it seems that gamers have won the battle against Electronic Arts, almost like the Rebel Alliance.
I was going to say, this is very appropriate for a Star Wars story. Gamers everywhere will remember the big fight that happened between the video game community and EA after Star Wars Battlefront 2 came out, and gamers discovered that it was riddled with microtransactions and pay-to-win type systems where people could get ahead by spending real money to unlock characters, to upgrade characters, to get new weapons. It was a bad system that drew a lot of criticism from gamers, reviewers, and even the larger mainstream media, which is, of course, what tipped the scales there when Disney finally put their foot down and said, hey, knock it off, EA, not with our franchise. Once people started throwing around the Disney, #Disney gambling thing, the mouse from up top came down and...
Listen here. That's a nice video game studio there. It'd be a shame if it got shut down.
And EA is like, okay. We'll do whatever you want, Mr. Mouse.
Yes.
But anyway, so just recently, EA announced that they are overhauling the game's loot box system to remove all the progression-related content. So loot boxes don't contain characters. They don't contain upgrades or special abilities. It's all just strictly cosmetic items. Everything that's tied to progression and gameplay is now unlocked through the game through normal play, which is what everybody wanted from the beginning. And it right. sounds crazy that gamers have to stir up all this crap in order to get a game where you unlock things through playing.
Yeah, like isn't it's supposed kind of, to be.
Right. They're pitching it like a novel idea, and now you can unlock things by just playing the game. And you're like, whoa. That's crazy. We totally haven't been able to do that for the past 30 years.
I mean like the other 98% of games.
Right, exactly. The real question, though, here is this too little too late? With the game already suffering, you know, big criticism from the reviewers and having, you know, a downturn in sales, is it already over? Is Star Wars Battlefront... capable of coming back from this, or is it is what it is now?
It may be, because especially from a PlayStation point of view, like right now I'm looking forward to God of War.
Right.
I'm looking forward to Red Dead Redemption 2 coming up.
Right.
Like there are some big meaty games coming up that I want to
exactly
play.
Yeah.
Battlefront 2, you know, first when they did the whole microtransactions thing, I already poo-pooed.
Right. Too much like a mobile game.
Right. I poo-pooed Battlefront 2 all the way down on my list. Now, for it to try and come up, it's kind of too little too late because I'm looking forward to, you know, some big releases
right.
coming out this year.
God of War, Detroit Become Human.
Yeah, Detroit Become Human. I want
to
play that.
Spider-Man is rumored to come out in the summer. I know that's not on your radar, but, but that's me. Then you got Red Dead Redemption.
Right.
Yeah, it's too little too late. It's all the way down gamers' lists now. But maybe lesson learned for the next one? Do you think EA has learned its lesson? And
I hope so. They better not try this again. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a shame that this game that had, you know, from what I understand, great gameplay, was so marred by this controversy. I mean, if they had just done the cosmetics from the beginning, like an Overwatch-type game, they could have had the same player base as an Overwatch-type game. Instead... they got greedy and they put like just unreasonable barriers to players getting the content that they wanted.
Yes.
You know,
you should never do that. The barriers should never be
when you're paying $60 for a full game.
Right.
There shouldn't be barriers to things like characters.
Right.
There shouldn't be.
Right. Absolutely. And it's a shame it took EA this long to realize it, but at least they're moving in the right direction.
Yeah.
And it's a sign that what the gamers cried out for was actually heard, which is actually a positive note.
Right. And, you know, hopefully other developers take note of this. They see the outrage and they see that, you know, EA had to change because of how angry gamers got. Maybe it will inspire other developers to follow suit and rethink their microtransaction systems to be not as predatory. I think that's the thing. Nobody minds microtransactions if they make sense. If you're buying a costume, that's fine. You know, if you're buying, you know, inconsequential things, that's fine. But it can't affect the core gameplay loop.
Right. You shouldn't be paying $60 for a game and then another $60 So you have the best character in the game.
Right, exactly. And these were like important characters, like Luke Skywalker, Darth Vader.
Yeah.
You know, this wasn't
what the hell kind of Star Wars game you can't play as Darth Vader?
Right. It's crazy. It's absolutely insane. Or, yeah. I'm glad that they rolled back this decision. I'm a little disappointed that it took this long. I think it's like 5 months after release. So yeah. At this point, the game's already done, you know?
Yeah, but the people who wanted to buy it have already bought it.
Exactly.
And the bad voodoo for people who remember it at this point, yeah, it's going to be a moot point. Yeah.
And you know, I just had a thought here, as you said, that the people who wanted it have already bought it. I think this patch, now that I'm thinking about it, is probably more a fact of, well, we've lost the opportunity to make money off the microtransactions in the launch window, so we might as well get rid of them.
Yeah.
Now that I'm rethinking it, I don't think it's altruistic at all. I think it's just they realize they can't make money off of it anymore, so they're like, whatever.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised to see support for this game dwindle out within the next several months.
Yeah. Like, yeah, at least...
Unless there's a resurgence of new players in their core player base,
yeah,
support will dwindle.
Maybe they'll get a couple of new people that'll catch the headline and be like, oh, maybe I'll give it a shot now.
Right.
But... Right. For the most part, I think you're right. Support's probably going to dwindle out on this.
Yeah, which is a shame. I hope it doesn't jeopardize future Battlefronts, because there's a lot of potential here with Star Wars being so popular and, you know, movies. I say that like it's a new franchise.
The Battlefront series was so good on PlayStation 2. I don't know how EA has messed it up this bad on the newer generations.
Pure greed.
Yeah. Like, come on.
Pure unadulterated greed.
Go back to the... This is going to sound weird. The original Battlefront 2 on PlayStation 2.
Yeah.
That was so much fun. I played the crap out of that game.
It had tons of content, too, didn't it? Like, you could fly in space, and battles were in space and on the ground and everything in between.
Right. It was like Return of the Jedi. You had a space battle going on while Endor was going on the ground, while there was a speed race. Like, it was crazy. You could do anything. It was, like, go back to that.
Yeah.
Is that tough?
That's back when developers made good games and made money on the back of great content, great gameplay, great stories. Well, I think now that we have the best stories in games, but before, games used to stand on their own merits. Gamers supported developers for making good games.
Well, I try to as well.
Yeah.
Go Rockstar.
Yeah, you know, it goes back to the old adage, if you really like something, support the people who create it by buying it.
Yeah, and stick to those game developers.
Hey, vote with your money, right?
Yep.
That's why they really made this decision, because gamers voted with their money. But, anyway.
We have more Star Wars news.
We have more Star Wars news to get to. We don't want to just, you know, ramble on about Battlefront 2. This is really big news. At least I think it's really exciting news. Star Wars, Disney and Star Wars announced that the director of Iron Man, Jon Favreau, will be producing and writing a new live action Star Wars series for Disney's new streaming service.
And there you go. That's going to make whatever this Disney streaming service a must own.
Yeah.
In comparison to Netflix and Hulu.
Is this a mic drop moment for Disney and Star Wars?
Yeah.
Jon Favreau, the Marvel kingpin over there.
Right. Is going to do Star Wars. Absolutely.
That's incredible.
That's mic drop. Yep.
Yeah. Disney's like, all right, take this.
And so you're going to have this new Star Wars series. Imagine what they're going to do with all the
Marvel stuff.
All the Marvel stuff. Imagine what they're going to do with all, like, the Pixar and stuff like that. I mean, this is...
All their old classics. I mean, they have so many movies in the vault, like, real old stuff that they could bring back and give people a chance to watch it anytime, anywhere.
This is shaping up to be a very formidable service. If I'm Netflix or Hulu, I'm actually legitimately scared.
Disney has a lot of clout in this area. I mean, their reach is far and wide in terms of content that they have. I don't think people realize this. But Disney is the parent company of things like ABC, ESPN, obviously all the Disney channels. But they also own Marvel, Pixar, Star Wars. they own so much of everything. I think they have a controlling stake in Hulu, or a partially controlling stake after they bought Fox. Crap. Fox.
Yeah.
I forgot about Fox. So they have ABC and Fox. Think about that for a second. Two of the big four networks. Disney owns them.
And Disney's going to launch their own service.
Yeah. This, if I were Netflix and Hulu, I'd be a little bit worried about this.
Absolutely. And this this news bulletin about a separate Star Wars episodic TV show is huge as well. I know this is a question you want to answer.
Yes.
What era do you think this TV show is going to be in? Because this is so, this is the first time Star Wars would be doing some sort of live action episodic content other than the movies and stuff like that.
Right. They've
anything's on the table.
They have animated series, and I think they're called Clone Wars, so I assume it takes place during the Clone Wars.
Oh, well, there's Clone Wars, there's Rebels. Yeah, there's...
Oh, there's multiple animated series. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. I leave it to the Star Wars expert to tell me what's what. He's like, no, listen.
Yes, young one.
You must learn, young Padawan. So, eras that I want to see, and I've told you this before, I want to know more about the origins of everything. I'm like one of those people that when I discover, not when I discover, but when I'm really into a universe, I really want to learn how it came to be. I want to know the background of everything. I want to do a deep dive into the lore. So I would love to see like an ancient Star Wars. I don't want to see the Luke timeline. I don't want to see post-Luke timeline. We're already getting that. Okay? I don't want to see the Clone Wars. That's been done to death now with the animated show. I want something before all of that. Now, I don't think we'll get that, but that's what I want.
Yeah, so you want something like a Knights of the Old Republic where they go back 1,000 years and it's a lot of Sith versus a lot of Jedi and how did that come to be and everything.
Exactly.
Like that. I would like that.
What about you? Because you have more experience with the expanded universe. Is there a particular era that would lend itself well to a series or a particular storyline?
I don't see. The problem is the extended universe is no longer the extended universe because Disney retconned all of the books.
They could borrow from it, couldn't they?
They could, but it's at this point
it gets dicey.
It's kind of a moot point. You might as well just create your own thing if you've already announced that the pre-Disney books don't count anymore.
Right.
So you might as well write your own thing. I agree with you. I would like to see something that's like in a different era.
Yeah.
I would also like to see something that might be concurrent to the era of the Battle of Yavin and stuff like that, where obviously I don't want it to be the main characters from the original trilogy, but maybe like something like in another part of the universe that's going on. The universe is a big place.
Exactly.
There's probably things happening in other galaxies and stuff like that. I would like to see something like that.
Okay.
And then you could tie in like, oh my gosh, like news bulletin. I don't know how they would do it.
News bulletin, a planet exploded, more at 11.
Right. Like, how would everybody react? Like, holy crap.
And the moisture farmers are like, well, that damn empire.
Alderaan just blew up.
Weren't they like the galactic capital or something? Or was that
Coruscant.
Coruscant, okay.
Yeah, Coruscant's the
But Alderaan was important, though.
They were important in the...
Princess Leia, she was a princess. That means they had a king.
Yeah, Alderaan was the forefront of the rebel resistance.
Okay, that's why they blew it up.
Correct.
Gotcha. But see how that ripple effect influences other parts of the galaxy.
Obviously, with better John Williams soundtrack than me just going.
What are you talking about, Rich? They're sending the contract right now.
Thanks,
next
guys.
Week, Rich is just going to be in L.A. recording all the music.
Sorry, guys. I can't make the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Only his personal vocals.
I got it.
People tune in like, what the hell is happening?
Yeah. I'm actually just off to the side. Hi.
He's doing the dual fades.
Oh, my God.
See, you know the lyrics.
Yeah.
There you go. Perfect. That's your audition tape.
Yes. Disney.
We're going to reach out to Disney. Disney, have we got a star in the making for you?
Hi, I'm Rich Liebig.
Sign him to a multi-year deal.
I would like to sing on your random.
They have a new blog post. The new voice of Star Wars is. Oh, my God.
Cora Ratama.
Oh, God.
Yes.
That would be great. I wish you luck, Rich.
Thank you. Appreciate that. John Favreau, I'm calling you up next week. I have to be involved.
But anyway, so yeah, this I'm going to have to seriously consider getting Disney streaming service for original content like this and for any other future plans they have, because you know this is only the tip of the iceberg.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You know, they're getting John Favreau to do a live-action Star Wars series, but there's a whole bunch of other stuff on the horizon. It was also recently announced that the Game of Thrones showrunners are signing on to do their own trilogy of Star Wars films after this current trilogy.
Yep.
So, I mean, there's some real big things in Star Wars' future.
Yeah, Disney is not planning on sitting on Star Wars.
Oh,
they're going to
shake things up with a sledgehammer.
Yes.
Especially with – now, I know you've only seen the one episode of Game of Thrones, but – David Benioff and D.B. Weiss, they are fantastic storytellers. They have such a great grasp of weaving these intricate plots and subtext and casting. I mean, they've done a fantastic job on Game of Thrones. Can't wait to see what they do. Maybe that will be my Origins series for Star Wars.
Maybe, yeah.
I would love to see them do like an ancient Jedi type thing, because they have experience with the fantasy setting.
Right.
And Star Wars has always walked that line between sci-fi and fantasy, so.
Right. And we've never seen the origin stories conceptualized in live action or movies.
Oh, God. I really hope. Now, I'm getting my hopes up so high now. They're like sky high, and I'm just going to be completely destroyed. Oh, well.
It's a reboot. Damn it!
It's a reboot. They're redoing the prequel trilogy. Why?
God damn it!
We heard what fans have said. And we're making an entire trilogy about pod racing.
Oh, my God. They totally would.
That would be terrible.
We're going to bring back.
It's a sports drama about a plucky underdog. Oh, no. I'm going to stop talking before they decide to do it.
We're going to bring back the Nintendo 64 game Episode 1 Racer.
Oh, my gosh.
Here comes the Bulba. Yay!
Bulba.
Who likes Sebulba?
It's just one kid. You know, pod racing was created strictly for video games and toys.
My God. You know what Disney needs? Sebulba.
Sebulba. So you're the new voice of Star Wars and Sebulba's the new face of Star Wars.
Yeah.
It's a match made in heaven.
What is happening?
You have to make the pod racing sounds, too. Zoom. You have to go back and forth between the music.
I'm doing the entire gaffer and music soundtrack.
It's just you by yourself.
Oh, Cora! Now this is pod racing.
Oh, so you're doing the voices now too?
doing the complete audio track.
Wow.
I better get a raise.
So voice acting, soundtrack.
Poodle. That's a Bulba. That's one of the few lines I remember him saying.
Job the Hutt.
Oh, oh, oh. Oh, goody goto pod racing.
Oh, my God. That's actually really good.
It also doesn't help. It also helps that I ate like 3 donuts before we did the show, so. I got to eat 3 donuts and then I can do Job the Hutt.
Those are your only demands as an actor.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Fantastic.
So, there you go. The latest Star Wars news here in the entertainment entree. Only the best.
Oh, that's right. We bring you the hard-hitting news.
There you go. The hard-hitting news.
Other podcasts have soundtracks. We just have Rich. Rich, instead of playing your outro music, I want you to play us out by singing something. All right, folks, that wraps up the entertainment entree, but don't go anywhere, because we've got plenty more show for you. We have the non-fortune cookie odd news coming up after this. Don't go anywhere.
Oh my gosh, I don't know how much I keep that up. I gotta do multiple takes. let's officially end it because
I thought we did a good job there.
I gotta practice my stamina.
Okay,
and I'm getting a little tired here.
I'm sorry I put you through that.
It's all right. So, all right, we'll officially take a break here on out while I recover and get ready for my Star Wars debut. But of course, there's one more portion of the show still left to come. You think we got weird? We're gonna get even weirder because coming up next we got the non-fortune cookie odd news. And I'm proud to say it's an all-Florida odd news coming
Hot
your way.
Damn.
Yeah, so we're going to get even more weirder. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
The Crispy Noodle, always crunchy.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Did you hear this?
A scuba diver in Florida is suing a utility company after he was sucked into a quarter mile long pipe that took him inside a nuclear power plant.
No, you don't get to sue the utility company for that. You're just stupid.
Christopher Leakin said he was scuba diving off the coast of Hutchinson Island when he went down to investigate three large shadows underneath a yellow buoy.
Yellow, isn't it like a warning color?
Yeah.
You're an idiot. There are radioactive symbols everywhere.
I thought it meant go closer.
Yeah. Okay, that's what radioactivity means. This must be like the place where they take in the water to put in the cooling tower.
Probably.
He could have been like the Hulk.
Swimming Hulk.
Do you think Hulk is afraid of water? He's all muscle. I don't think he could swim.
Yeah, I don't know. Has the Hulk ever swam?
Avengers 3. Hulk takes swimming lessons. Black Widow's like, come on, you can do it, Hulk.
Hulk swim! Hulk drown!
Hulk drown!
Hulk drown!
He uses his last breath. Oh my god.
Hulk drown. Maybe he gets sucked back into the nuclear power plant.
Double Hulk,
yeah.
Hulkception?
Hulk no understand plot of movie.
Hulk have existential crisis about concept of reality. And then Hulk drown. Best line of dialogue Hulk has ever had.
Hulk not know sound effect.
Hulk want to know if top fall over. Oh man, Hulkception.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
Hey, this is Tony Gaga. You got a podcast? You gotta go to the podcast I go to. I'll get you this podcast for $2. That's the Crispy Noodle Podcast for $2.
Oh, yeah, we are back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We are done the sports sampler and the entertainment entree. We are moving right along here on this meal for your mind that is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. You know what it is. It's time for some odd news coming up. But as I teased earlier, this is a special one because we're spending the entire time in Florida. I guess Florida missed us during our our breakaway due to the snow.
Yeah, you know, it's always tough when us and Florida are apart.
Right. So to make up for it, we got a whole bunch of Florida odd news for you. So let's launch into it. Time for the odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool. Uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? Me? I'm doing great.
Manda de bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts!
That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, 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 go past this. Past this part. In fact, never play this again.
Okay! what does that mean?
And now, it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So, sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders, go to the bathroom, because you're in for a hell of a ride.
Woo, odd news!
That's right, everybody. It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news here in this segment. Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news. He keeps these stories hidden from me, so I don't know what they are. All my reactions, my general gut reactions to hearing these stories for the very first time. And this time we've got something extra special for you, as Rich teased. It is an all-Florida odd news.
That's right.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
And there you go. That's all you need to know. It's Florida, and it's crazy. So why not? A whole bunch of Florida odd news coming your way. This first story, though, is actually government.
Okay.
Actually pretty serious for the state of Florida.
Ugh, the damn government.
Yep. And it has to do with the governor, Rick Scott. He has officially signed off on legislation in which he wants to make daylight savings time permanent in the Sunshine State.
Okay. I have heard of people wanting to do that in the past. So the time would just never fall back?
Correct.
Okay.
The move would lengthen the amount of sunny hours in the winter and no longer require Floridians to set their clocks back an hour in the fall.
Yeah, but what about the rest of the world?
Like, screw the rest of the world.
Florida's just in their own time zone.
Yeah, right.
It's Florida time.
They make this would, if this goes through and becomes a thing, yeah, they would have their own time zone.
Florida, why can't you just be normal?
No, we can't. This is Florida.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Scott has said that observing daylight savings time year round would mean that people in Florida could enjoy everything our beautiful state has to offer. But unfortunately, the implementation of the bill would only happen if it is approved by Congress on the federal level, because only the federal government officially can determine a time zone.
So Florida has to go to the federal government.
Correct.
And say, we want to be our own time zone.
Right. Right. Florida can't just do this on its own.
Yeah, because otherwise states would just be like, every state would have its own time zone. Like, we don't feel like listening to your time zone.
Yeah.
We're going to be 15 minutes behind.
Take that. Take that, Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
We're going to be 10 minutes behind schedule.
So wait, are you talking about like
I don't know.
Interstate time zones?
Yeah, I just want to piss off Pittsburgh.
Philadelphia's 15 minutes ahead of Pittsburgh.
Yeah, take that.
Ha, we experienced the day first.
Yeah, we're on the east. We see the sun first than you do.
It makes sense.
States on their own independently have not been able to do anything like this. The only thing that has been precedent is parts of Arizona, as well as U.S. territories like Puerto Rico and Guam, have opted not to observe daylight savings time since those areas get sunshine year round. For example,
so wait, if they can opt not to observe it, then can Florida just opt not to observe the opposite?
Regular time? Yeah. Standard time. That's
standard
what it is.
Time.
I'm not very fancy here on the crew.
We don't observe your standard time.
Standard time. Arizona, for example, they choose not to engage in daylight savings time so that the waking hours can be cooler for residents.
Okay.
So they actually have a health reason. Because why else are you going to live in Arizona? You're going to melt your face off.
Yeah, I've never understood the appeal of living in Arizona and New Mexico and Texas, places like that. Just seems way too hot for me.
But hey, they don't have daylight savings time.
So yeah.
If that bothers you, go to Arizona.
Oh, I hate changing the clock.
I want to live in a place where I never have to change clocks again.
Oh,
I have to change every clock in my house.
It is a pain, though, when you think about it. Like, my watch will be the incorrect time for, like, a month or two after the time changes.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Exactly. That's what everybody in Arizona says.
That is incredibly appropriate.
Ain't nobody got time for
Ain't
that.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
So, if you're looking... So, you got a couple of options. If you hate daylight savings time, go to Arizona. If you love daylight savings time, go to Florida, because they're trying to make that year-round. And if just normal, then just stay where you are.
If you're not insane, just stay where you are.
Yeah.
Unless you're in Arizona and Florida, in which case, leave immediately.
Yeah. All right, so there you go. And who knows? We might be reporting on this next month. Florida has actually done it.
Florida has its own time zone, the Florida time zone.
Right. Who knows? We might be reporting this next month or something.
I feel like Florida just does stuff to be different.
Yeah.
And not in a good way. They just want to be different and separate from everyone else.
I mean, this has gone up to the governor of Florida. That's some heavy.
That's pretty
not,
high up.
But yeah, that's not like a fringe politician just throwing it out there. This is the governor of Florida.
Right. This isn't some crazy county being like, we're not going to listen to your people anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
This is the governor of Florida. He's actually put this in the legislation. So
fantastic.
Yeah. You know, 2 months, a month or two from now, I might actually be saying Florida has its own time zone.
I guess it wouldn't be that big a deal because we already deal with other time zones. It just seems strange to me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Just they got to do their own thing. Florida.
I think the whole country should just forget about changing the clocks.
But which way would it go? Would you do standard or daylight savings time? Because if you do daylight savings time, now you're Florida.
Yeah.
And I think that puts the whole country at risk.
Yes. We can't have that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Which would give us, I don't know. What's better, daylight savings or standard time? Daylight savings, you get more daylight, right?
Correct.
So maybe daylight savings time?
But then we're Florida.
Oh, man.
Yes.
All right, so standard time. We'll live in the darkness.
Okay, I'm for it.
I like the dark.
Yeah.
Which sounds really melodramatic, but it's true.
Yeah. Hey, I like ghosts, so there you go. It all works out.
Yes.
All right, let's move on to more traditional odd news stories here for our next one.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Yeah, you're going to like this one, Mike.
All right, what do you got?
A patient who was frustrated with his ER wait time decided to steal an ambulance so he could get back home.
Wrong, 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 wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. You're wrong.
Investigators said that this all went down Tuesday night at the Villages Hospital. Deputies said that the trouble started earlier in the day at the home of Danny Konetsky. A neighbor called 911 reporting that Konetsky was drunk and suicidal. First responders showed up and took him to the hospital. The arrest affidavit said Konetsky admitted to police that, quote, he got mad after waiting for 2 hours to see a doctor in the ER. So that's when he decided to walk out of the ER and drive a stolen ambulance back home.
Wrong, 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 wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. You're wrong.
I guess he figures it's only fair, since that's how he got there.
Yeah.
That's how he should leave.
Right. How else am I going to get home?
It checks out to me.
The drive from the hospital to Konetsky's home was 6 miles. Cops said that Konetsky was then caught drinking beer in the trunk of his own car inside his garage.
What? Inside the trunk of his car?
Yeah.
Now it says car. Literally mean like a car? Or do they mean like a something with a big trunk, like an SUV or a van?
No, his car. So he had like, I guess, a case of beer in the car.
But was he in the trunk? Was he curled up in the trunk?
Right, he was in the trunk. So he's actually drinking in the trunk in his garage.
Why didn't you just sit in the car? Like, where it's more comfortable than curling up in the trunk.
Because...
I don't know, maybe trunks are comfortable.
You got to be in visible sight of your beer. You can't trust anybody.
Just move the beer.
That'd be too much work.
Wait, that would be too much work, but stealing an ambulance wouldn't be.
Hey, no, that's to get to the beer, all right? That was worth it.
Oh, right, right, right.
Now, at this point, we're relaxing and enjoying the beer.
Of course. Logic.
Logic. Hello. This is Florida. According to the arrest affidavit, instead of parking the ambulance in his own driveway, the suspect admitted that he parked it across the street in his neighbor's driveway and left the sirens running on because he was mad at his neighbors because he thought they were the ones who called the police on him earlier.
Oh, now you fucked up. You have fucked up now.
That's brilliant. He just leaves the sirens on.
Yeah, go F off. Woo, 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 woo,
woo. Like, oh my God, there's an ambulance outside. Where?
Our driveway. Who called the ambulance? We can't get it to stop.
I love that. That's great.
Take that, you pricks.
Oh, man.
Konetsky said that, quote, he just wanted to drink his booze and that the ER wait was preventing him from doing so.
Yeah.
How dare you?
How dare you?
Trying to medically help me?
Yeah, how dare you take care of me? Yeah. I just want a drink.
I got this case of beer in my trunk. That's all I wanted to do.
Oh, man.
He's still on probation from a drunk driving charge.
Yeah.
So
just drunk driving, not stealing, not Grand Theft Auto?
No, apparently.
But he stole an ambulance.
They're lenient on him.
Let's go easy on him.
Yeah, he's drunk and suicidal.
He's drunk and suicidal, yeah.
Yeah, they didn't want to give him the full rap charges.
That's after he sobers up.
Right.
Surprise!
All right. Now, I think this is the first time this has ever happened on the Non-Fortune Cookie Odd News. The next two stories are not only from Florida, but they are from the same county in Florida. This is ridiculous.
That's alarming.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
That is quite alarming.
Yes.
Those poor people. So what's the county name? I got to look it up.
And it's a county we've been there. We've been before. Okaloosa County.
Oh, my God.
This might be the epicenter of Florida. Florida Odd News.
I think you're right.
We have
definitely been to Okaloosa before.
Oh, yeah. You don't forget a name like Okaloosa.
No.
That's a hell of a name.
Why does this county have all the weird stuff? Oh, you know why? It's in the panhandle. That's why.
Is it near Tallahassee?
Because
I was in Tallahassee.
Was I near the epicenter and I didn't realize it?
Oh, my gosh. You may have been.
Oh my God! Am I infected?
That's real. Are you infected?
I'm infected.
Am I infected by the odd news? I'm sorry, Rich, but you've been infected by odd news.
Oh,
it's a strange response. You've been infected. Ah.
Oh.
So it's not near Tallahassee. Tallahassee is more near where the Panhandle starts to go down into the dangle. Okaloosa. How else are you supposed to describe? I mean, look at Florida. We all know what it looks like.
I like your response, your analysis. What was it?
Tallahassee's where the Panhandle goes into the dangle.
Oh.
Okaloosa is on the far western side. Like, it's like the second or third county over from the edge of the Panhandle.
So it's basically Alabama? What would be the closest to the...
You're really testing my geography here, Rich.
I'm doing this without a map. I'm doing this off of memory. That would be Alabama or Mississippi. It's either Mississippi or Alabama.
Let me try and find a picture of the United States. Shut up, Rich. Yes, it's near Alabama.
Alabama. So there you go. That's Alabama. What it is. It's a mix of Alabama and Florida.
Oh, my God.
It's the perfect...
Okaloosa is when Alabama meets Florida.
Right. It's the perfect storm of weirdness.
That is terrifying.
There you go. That's why we're getting all these odd news from Okaloosa County. And, yeah, I got two of them here for you. Let's do this one first. A Florida man came home from work Thursday night to discover the back door of his home broken into. A cinder block had been used to smash through the sliding door of his home. According to the Okaloosa County Sheriff's Office. But what was even more concerning than the break-in was that when the homeowner walked into his house, he heard water running.
Okay.
When he walked in, he found out why the water was running. It turns out that the man who had broken into his home decided to hop in the shower.
Of course.
Wrong, 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 wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. You're wrong.
Yes. I'm going to break into this house, steal some things, and then, you know what? I smell. I need a shower.
Yeah, like what?
I'm sweating too much. All this,
what preempts that?
All this thieving and burglary.
All this thieving. You really work up a sweat with your thieving.
Yeah, I got a date tonight. I gotta do a quick shower.
That's what he was stealing. He was stealing a nice little present for his date.
Right.
Unbelievable.
I wanted to get a gift for my girlfriend, so
exactly.
I broke into a house and I figured I might as well get a shower while I'm at it.
Grab a quick shower, do some laundry, iron my shirt.
I want to look nice.
Yeah. In fact, why even leave? He could just cook a nice dinner, set a fancy table, invite her over. The homeowner's like, excuse me?
28-year-old Cameron Tobias hopped in the shower after forcing his way into the house. The homeowner says that he does not know Tobias, so this is a total stranger. This is not... You know, maybe some people were like, oh, maybe somehow knew the guy or something. No, this
That's
is
still weird. It's still weird. Like if one of us broke into the other person's house to just take a shower, that's kind of weird, isn't it?
It's an emergency, Mike.
It's an emergency.
I'm sweating too much.
Rich just shows up with a cinder block. Rich, what are you doing?
I need a shower.
I need a shower. Just burst through the window with a cinder block. Actually, I don't know which is weirder. The fact that it's if it were a stranger or if it was somebody you knew. If it was somebody you know, there's no reason to break into the house. Oh, my God.
I couldn't
God.
Find your key. After figuring out that the burglar was in the shower, the homeowner grabbed a gun and confronted him in the shower.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. That's
Florida that, always takes it to 11.
Oh, now you fucked up. You have fucked up now.
Yeah, that's a nasty wake-up call in the shower. Yeah.
He's like, I got shampoo in my eyes, man. Come on.
Put the shampoo down.
Put the loofah down.
Not screwing around here.
That shampoo is expensive. Oh, my God.
That's where he tied up Tobias and waited until cops arrived.
He tied him up.
Yeah.
Man, this is like Taken now.
Well, he's in a shower.
That is true.
You.
Is it strange that I feel worse, that I feel bad for the guy taking the shower?
I just wanted to
he's
smell
just,
nice.
He's That's right. He's just trying to grab a shower. And the homeowner comes by. He's waving a gun in his face. He's naked. He's got shampoo in his eyes. He doesn't know what's happening. Wouldn't that be terrifying if you got shampoo in your eyes and somebody kicks down the door with a gun?
Oh, my gosh.
To be fair, you shouldn't be breaking into people's homes and showering.
Yeah. I kind of thought... That was an unwritten rule that we all abided by, but
no,
apparently
it needs
not.
To explicitly, not. It needs to be explicitly written down. Oh
Tobias was then arrested on charges of burglary, petty theft, and criminal mischief, property damage over $1,000. He's being held at the Okaloosa County Jail on a $7,000 bond. Also found out that Tobias had LSD in his pants.
Well, that might explain some of it.
Yeah, so... There you go. Maybe a drug charge as well coming his way.
So he just got all drugged up and he's like, I got a shower.
Yeah, I gotta wash this LSD off of me.
Yeah, he was probably having a bad trip. Like, I don't know, bugs were crawling all over him or something. He just needed a shower right then and there.
Or he had a date that night.
The LSD was part of that.
Yeah.
It all makes sense.
All right, so who's going to join him? Because here, this is
the
game.
Second story.
This is like a weird, game show. Who's joining you in the Okaloosa County Jail? Find out on the Chris Munoz podcast.
We need to start keeping track of these Okaloosa stories because this is, I know we've had multiple Okaloosa stories in the past.
Yeah. So here is the next guy here. Okaloosa County Sheriff's deputies have arrested a Florida man who reported had several narcotics in his pants. According to Okaloosa County Sheriff's Office, a deputy on the Beale Parkway spotted a man who was asleep in a vehicle with his engine running.
Okay.
Sure, why not? After waking,
I mean, turn the car off at least.
Yeah, all right. Save the environment.
Right.
After waking the man up, the canine with the deputy, alerted the cop that there was something in the vehicle. Deputies then found a black case in 43-year-old Chester Walker's tight pants pocket with heroin, crack cocaine, meth, fentanyl, alprazolam, quetiapine fumarate, and a needle.
Wow.
Everybody's talking about my tight pants. Got my tight pants. Got my tight pants on. Everybody's looking at my tight pants. Got my tight pants. Got my tight pants on.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure I'm not saying that right, but whatever.
Man.
The full list again in his pants. Heroin, crack cocaine, meth, fentanyl, alprazolam, quetiapine fumarate, and a needle. You gotta have the needle. That's important. You know.
That is some heavy-duty stuff.
All in his tight pants. That's pretty impressive, I think.
Okay. I knew I recognized that.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You work at a drug company.
So, alprazolam and quetiapine both treat mental disorders, so schizophrenia, anxiety, panic disorder, stuff like that. They are heavy duty drugs that have serious side effects if you misuse them.
Fun.
This dude should not be combining those with meth and heroin, probably.
Well, guess what?
What?
When the deputy arrested him, he shouted, quote, "Wait a minute, these aren't my pants. These tight pants aren't mine."
Everybody's talking about my tight pants. Got my tight pants. Got my tight pants on. Everybody's looking at my tight pants. Got my tight pants. Got my tight pants on.
All right. What logical reasoning is there for you to be wearing somebody else's tight pants? Go, Mike.
Yeah, I honestly can't think of one. You just get naked with random strangers and you, like, grab the wrong pair of pants?
Well, keep in mind, wait a minute. Earlier in the story, he fell asleep in his car.
Right.
So somebody drove up behind him, unbuttoned him while he was sleeping, and replaced his pants.
Well, somebody who was looking to get rid of their drugs, instead of just tossing the drugs in his car, they figure, I'll just get rid of the pants altogether. I don't know, man. That is just insane. And why? You realize that we've had this excuse multiple times in the Odd News. I don't know if you remember that, but we've had other times where people say, it's not my pants.
Yes.
Why do you think that makes you any less guilty? You still are wearing the pants with the drugs in them.
Yeah, did you not notice they're in your pants?
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, what's this big case of drugs here?
This is a lot of drugs, too.
Yeah.
This isn't like one or two things. You got heroin, crack cocaine, meth, fentanyl, alprazolam, whatever, and a needle.
Yeah, like, okay, so to store a needle, you need, you know, a bulky case. So,
and you got tight pants on.
Right, exactly. This isn't something you just, like, all of a sudden, like, oh my gosh, what's this?
Everybody's talking about my tight pants. Got my tight pants. Got my tight pants on. Everybody's looking at my tight pants. Got my tight pants. Got my tight pants on.
Yes, so I don't think there's any way out of this.
No.
Walker has been charged with possession of cocaine, possession of a controlled substance with a prescription, and possession of various drug paraphernalia.
That's it?
Why? What else should he get?
I don't know. Like, shouldn't he have multiple counts of each of those?
Well, I'm sure they're separate charges, but those are the...
Those are the biggies.
Right.
I was going to say, man, he's got basically everything on him.
he's got an illegal pharmacy on him.
He's basically a pharmacy, yes. There's not much more he could have had there. Oh, man.
So there you go. Both of those stories, Okaloosa County.
Okaloosa sounds like a very dangerous place.
Yeah. Please be careful.
Please be careful. We're concerned.
Yeah. All right.
We're concerned for you, Okaloosa.
Please be careful.
Please, just the whole county.
All right.
Don't go out alone at night.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to steal your pants.
Don't fall asleep in your running car.
Yeah.
Because somebody's going to steal your tight pants.
Yeah.
Oh, all right, I got two more Florida stories here for you.
All right.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
This one is just funny to imagine. A Florida man who was allegedly driving drunk through Lake County, when confronted by the arresting officer, decided to offer him a 10% off coupon at Lowe's.
Wrong. You're wrong.
Boy, is that an offer.
Wow, yeah.
Don't arrest
me. A whole 10%?
Boy, man.
Couldn't even spring for the 20%. Jeez.
On Wednesday night, 26-year-old Peter Hinton was going 68 miles per hour in a 40-mile-per-hour zone, according to the arrest affidavit. When he was pulled over, Peter decided to beg with the cop and pulled out his 10% coupon for Lowe's,
man,
and begged to get let go of the charges.
Jeez.
Wrong. You're wrong.
I mean, if you're going to bribe somebody, really bribe them.
Yeah.
Don't toss them one of those free, you know, hole punch sandwich cards or 10% coupon. Like, you got to throw down the big bucks to bribe people.
Peter was then asked to step out of the car. Before he started his sobriety test, he dropped his wallet and made no attempt to pick it up. So, there you go. He doesn't care.
Doesn't even care.
He admitted to the cop that, quote, I had a couple of drinks from Chili's. Boy, what an establishment.
Specifically from Chili's.
Yeah, class.
Yes. Fine dining.
And admitted that, quote, he lost count as to how many Crown and Cokes he drank. The cop then told him to count from 1 to 50. He made it all the way to 27 and then blurted out 36.
Why is the report that specific? That's great.
Because I think at this point now you're just laughing at the dude.
27, 36.
That sounds about right.
You made it more than halfway there.
Yeah, he was there.
And then you're like, oh, I can't. This is going too slow. I'm going to skip a few numbers.
He was arrested and charged with his first DUI offense. And then while en route to the county jail, Peter then offered to give the officer a hand job to get out of the arrest.
Wow.
Yeah.
That escalated quickly.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
How do you go from 10% off to a hand job? There's nothing in between those two things.
Oh.
He didn't take the 10% off. I don't know what to do now. I'm out of options.
Yep, there's only one more thing.
I have to debase myself.
Yeah, there's only one more thing I can offer.
How do you make that jump? Like, shouldn't there be other steps between a 10% off coupon and performing sexual favors?
Guess not.
Nope, that's it. Those are the only two options. You got option A and option B.
Yep, good luck.
Good luck. Man.
His bond is at $1,000.
This is like nothing. Gee, all that. It's such a low bond.
Oh
my God.
All right, and I got one more Florida story here for you.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
And boy, this one's a great story here. So get ready. Sit down.
Okay.
All right. Two Florida men are accused of breaking into the home of a man that they both dated, stealing several items, and then trying to start a fire, according to the Volusia County Sheriff's Office.
Trying?
Yes, trying. Yes, that's okay. The key word here. The victim called 911 Tuesday morning because security cameras in his home detected motion, and he believed that someone was breaking in. A towel had been placed over one of the cameras. Deputies went to the residence and saw a red Lincoln Navigator attempting to flee the area. A stop was conducted, and the driver and the passenger told the deputy that they had just picked up some clothes from the victim's home. The victim told News 6 that Irving stole a bull costume from his house.
Okay.
Just,
all right.
You know, whatever.
Sure.
Whatever floats your boat.
Yeah.
I guess you could say you had yourself a man witch. Yeah.
Ooh. the deputy said that she could also see a marijuana grinder in the car's center console, a flat screen television, a window air conditioning unit,
a heater and a vacuum. Okay. And also an empty jar of Ragu spaghetti sauce. This is a very specific
set. That's the best one.
A very specific set of...
they're all sort of random, but the last one is the cherry on top. Did they get hungry? And did they just eat a jar of Ragu spaghetti sauce?
Well, oh my God. Here's what happened.
Yes, please, break this down for us. How did it all go down?
Yes.
I still want to know about the fire that they tried to start.
Deputies said that both men denied burglarizing the victim's home, but the home reeked of smoke when deputies entered it. A pot of spaghetti sauce was found burning on the stove with a white washcloth placed near the burner, which had begun to start a little fire, but not enough to set the entire kitchen on fire.
Somebody touch my spaghetti!
Mine too!
Mine's gone, and my chair is broken too.
Someone is in this house.
Oh my God, it fits perfectly. Somebody's in this house.
Somebody trying to start a fire.
You come into the house, you started a fire, you burn my spaghetti, you stealing my flat screen television.
My AC unit.
My AC unit.
You go home.
You go home now. But give me back my jar of Ragu. No self-respecting Italian bear would use Ragu. Oh, my God.
The victim.
So, wait. Were they attempting? So, did they intentionally burn the sauce? Or did they just accidentally burn their breaking and entering meal?
Decided
to make it a fire?
The victim said that they were trying to make it look like he left the stove on. But he says that, quote, I would never get up at 2 a.m. and fix myself sketty. that's a big offense. No,
oh,
I can't take it. I don't
fix
feel sorry.
Fix myself sketty.
I don't feel sorry for this victim. He called it sketty.
Somebody touch my spaghetti!
Mine too!
Mine's gone! And my chair is broken too!
Someone is in this house!
What are you, 5 years old? Sketty?
Yeah, come on.
It's either spaghetti
or
spaghetti.
That's it. Those are your only two options.
Sketty.
Spaghetti or spaghetti. That's it.
Oh, man. That's great. I'm not going to get up at 2 a.m. to fix myself some sketty. Oh, man.
The cops then extinguished the flames and continued searching the home. Evidence at the scene revealed that the two men, Silva and Irving, broke into the home, covered security cameras, stole the items, then put spaghetti sauce on the stove in an attempt to start a fire so that all the evidence would be destroyed.
You go to the locks. You eat the spaghetti. You break the chair. You sleep in the bed. Go home to your house.
Oh, my God. That's fantastic. Here's the thing, though. If they're planning on burning the evidence, why don't they just start a normal fire? Why do they have to stage it? You're burning the evidence. Right? Think about it.
They wanted to have a convincing story. Who doesn't wake up at 2 in the morning?
Oh, of course.
Who doesn't wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning and crave some spaghetti?
Every day, Rich.
Right.
Every day. You just wake up at 2 a.m.
Right. Every morning, I wake up at 2 o'clock.
Got to make myself some spaghetti.
Yeah, and I just have a hunger for spaghetti.
Yep.
As a half Italian, that's what I feel like.
Oh, man. And you put on your pot of Ragu.
Right.
To make your sketty.
And then I reorganize my vacuums, my window AC units, and my flat screen televisions.
That's right. You're just doing a little bit of spring cleaning.
Yeah, 2 o'clock in the morning.
Midnight spring cleaning with spaghetti.
Right. Silva and Irving then admitted to deputies that they both had a romantic and sexual encounters with the victim and that they wanted to get revenge on the victim breaking up with both of them.
I guess you could say you had yourself a man witch.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So they teamed up then.
Yeah.
To take down this other person.
Right. They both... Or unless it all happened at the same time, maybe the victim was a cheater.
Oh.
Maybe. A little lover's quarrel.
Oh, maybe.
With spaghetti. A spaghetti squirrel. Or squirrel. No, a spaghetti squirrel, I was going to say.
Spaghetti squirrel?
A squirrel.
Oh, my gosh.
Please tell me, what is a spaghetti squirrel?
It's when you have three male lovers and they're all angry at each other. It's a spaghetti squirrel. That's what I'm calling it.
Oh, man, that's great. Spaghetti squirrel.
I was trying to say quarrel. Nice quarrel.
Well, a squirrel is a spaghetti quarrel.
There you go.
Squirrel.
Squirrel. There you go. Let's start that now. It's a new slang term.
Squirrel.
When three male lovers are all angry at each other, you have a squirrel on your hands. Put that in Urban Dictionary. God. I want to see that.
Oh, man. That is amazing.
Copyright Crispy Noodle Podcast.
There you go. We should make it a thing. We should add an entry. A squirrel.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Both Silva and Irving were charged with unarmed burglary, grand theft, and arson. I'm glad they gave him unarmed burglary. I didn't know that was a separate thing.
Oh, man.
That's nice. Cutting him a little bit of a break.
Yeah, but they got that for arson.
Sure. Silva is being held on a $25,500 bond.
Wow.
Again, specific.
Yeah.
And
extra 500.
Yeah, boy, get that extra 500 in there. And Irving is being held without bond because he violated his probation. So, yeah, unfortunately, he doesn't have a chance of getting out.
No. That's what happens when you're in a squirrel.
Yeah, that's what happens. Those squirrels are just very dangerous.
Yes.
Don't get in one.
Don't get in one?
Yeah.
There you go. True wisdom from the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Don't get in a squirrel, people. What's a squirrel? You don't want to know.
Check out Urban Dictionary. There you go. That's what I have for you this week in the non-fortune cookie odd news. But before we officially wrap this week's episode up, let's go over what have we learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what do you have? I already know the first lesson.
We learned what a spaghetti squirrel is.
Yeah.
It is a lover's quarrel between three male lovers.
Right. And ideally, some sort of spaghetti or spaghetti sauce is involved in the problem.
Of course. I mean, it's not a true lover's quarrel without spaghetti being at the heart of it, right?
Right, yes.
And so that's what a squirrel is.
Right.
Yeah.
Nobody touches the spaghetti.
No. Fantastic. I love that spaghetti. Anyway, we also learned that Okaloosa County, Florida, must be a terrifying place to live in.
Yes, we keep getting a lot of odd news stories from there.
I know. We've talked about it in the past several times. We just had two stories from Okaloosa County in this episode. I mean, how do they go about their day knowing that at any moment a naked person could break into their house? And I guess he wasn't naked. He started out clothed and then became naked when he showered.
Yep.
Is it bad that I just assume everybody in every Florida story is naked?
Why not at this rate?
I mean, most of them usually are.
They might as well. You know what? Just become a nudist state.
There you go. You cross the border to Florida and your clothes just explode off of you.
Right.
And you get into a squirrel.
I mean, you already have tight pants on. They're going to rip. You might you might as well just go nude.
From all the drug paraphernalia you have in them.
That isn't yours.
Of course. That is a rock solid alibi. Oh, these pants aren't mine. The cop just goes, oh, okay. You're off. Like, what did you think was going to happen?
Oh, another case of pants being switched.
Oh, man. That's some real bad luck. Like, I understand if you accidentally pick up the wrong jacket, right? But how do you pick up the wrong pair of pants?
Yeah.
You're leaving a party, like, let me grab my pants.
Are you coming from an orgy?
In Florida, anything is possible. They might have been coming from a squirrel.
Yes, that's right, of course.
That's how you get somebody else's pants.
Those darn squirrels.
Oh, man. Oh, jeez. Well, you know, that whole squirrel thing is a great example of how being away from recording this long has made us just a little weirder.
Yes.
You know, that much time away, I feel like everything in this podcast
a little tongue-tied.
Was a little tongue-tied, a little crazy. Perfectly represented, of course, by your new career path, Rich.
Oh, yes.
Of being the voice artist, the soundtrack person, and the Foley artist for the upcoming Star Wars live action series.
Yes. I got to call John Favreau tomorrow morning.
They're working out the contract details.
Yeah.
You're flying to L.A. You're just going to be in a recording studio doing the music, the voiceovers. Everything.
I'm just going to see the visuals. I'm just going to go. That's it.
Yeah, you're just singing from the heart.
Yep.
You know, whatever comes to mind.
Yep.
It's just 2 hours of Duel of the Fates.
It's just... That's it.
Oh.
And, sure. That's what we've learned on this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm f***ed if I know what we did.
Oh, man, and there you go, folks. Another episode in the books. Our first one, I think. It seems like our first episode in a while.
Yeah, first quote-unquote normal recording in some time.
Yeah, but somehow we made it through it, despite all the Florida odd news. Despite my new career, despite Loyola being in March Madness.
This episode has just been filled with craziness.
Yeah.
I forgot about the Loyola thing.
Every part of the show had some sort of wackiness. You and your goose story.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The goose story.
Yeah. Every,
I forgot about that.
Every part of this episode had something really out there.
Well, that's what perfectly sums up the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Yeah, so hope you guys have enjoyed. Thank you for hanging around for the entire show. If you like what you heard and you want to hear more, check out our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Search for The Crispy Noodle.
That's right. You can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Stitcher, where you get the latest episodes downloaded for free every Thursday. So make sure you search for, download, and subscribe to The Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes and Stitcher.
That's right. We also have a SoundCloud page where we have the mini noodles, which are promos of the best bits that we do on the show. They're around 2 minutes. It's just a fun way to relive or re-listen to a funny part of the podcast that has happened. And, you know, we've got a couple of interesting ones on there. I was actually going through them the other day. We got Stoned I Am.
That was one of the newer ones.
Yeah, that's one of the new ones. Why the Hulk shouldn't swim. There's a couple.
Oh my gosh.
There's a couple of good
ones.
If you haven't gone back and re-listened to them, go check out the SoundCloud page.
Yeah, it's like a little tiny mini greatest hits, you know?
Yeah.
So definitely go check those out. Tons of ways to share and get in touch with the Crispy Noodle Podcast. You want to get in touch with us individually on Twitter. I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I'm at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. Find us on the Twitters and let us know what's happening. But for now, that will wrap it up. This is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. All right. I think that'll do it. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys.
Later!
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Hello, comrade. You are receiving transmission from Mother Russia. I am here to tell you, best podcast of 2018 is going to be Crispy Noodle Podcast, okay? This is the kind of thing that tickle my ball when nothing else will tickle my ball in Siberia. Okay? Crispy Noodle Podcast is best thing for 2018. You listen to Crispy Noodle Podcast. This is the show that is tickling my balls. The Crispy Noodle Podcast 2018 is you must listen, okay? Okay, yes, good. Goodbye, comrade.